Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Patience, encouragement, and a 100% success rate, the secrets of the Bike Whisperer. Hello and welcome to Advanced here at Studio Classroom. I'm so glad you're joining us for day two of our People article called The Bike Whisperer. Yesterday we learned about a man who has a lot of patience. We talked about the fact that patience is the mother of all virtues, and it's so important when you're teaching somebody who is attempting new skills to have patience, because they're going to be frustrated already learning something new as it is. They need to know that somebody is willing to guide them with patience. It's so important. This guy's name is Louis Burrell, and his specialty is teaching kids how to ride bikes in Chicago. Well, joining me for today's program, we have Rhonda again. Hello, Rhonda. It's great to have you back.
It's great to be here. Hello to our listeners. Thank you for joining us for this really pleasant topic, the story of a man who cares about the kids in his neighborhood and how he helps them. This is really just a nice one to talk about.
Yeah. Rhonda, when we were teaching yesterday, it's just like, basically, it makes me think of learning a new skill, period. You know, was there ever a time when you first learned a new skill that you can remember, and what made it exciting or scary for you? It could be learning how to ride a bike, maybe swimming or something else.
I'm going to admit this, talking on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
When I started working at ORTV about 2.5 years ago, it was a new skill for me. I talked and I'd listen to the radio, but the skill of when to stop speaking, how to keep your words clear, how close to put your mouth to the mic, there's a lot of skills. And what I really needed was that coaching. This article is about a man who is a coach for high school students. He coaches sports, and he takes that skill of being patient, explaining things, not letting people fail, and he applies it to working with kids. And you have been one of the many coaches, Gabe, that I've had at Studio Classroom.
Thank you, Rhonda. My pleasure. It is totally my pleasure.
Great. How am I doing, Coach?
You're doing great. I would say that you've improved leaps and bounds.
Oh, great. Well, you know, the thing about talking on the radio here, you don't have training wheels to start with. Yeah. I'm using that as a metaphor. You just get in front of the microphone and talk. There's really not... What would be an example of training wheels? Props. There's not a lot of things that kind of keep you from failing. Well, I guess are there training wheels?
Well, no, there's not. You're right. I think that's a great metaphor. I would say that in many situations, there's, you know, a chance off air to do some practice.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of that here, but really, you really get the feel for something when we're actually doing it.
That's right.
For real.
So right now we're doing it for real, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's listening to me. We're on that path, and we're going full speed ahead.
Yeah,
we're on the air. Don't let me fall over.
We're on the air. You know, it just reminds me, like, sometimes in life we do things, we learn things by trial and error, and that's good and normal, but, you know, one great thing about having a coach or having someone maybe on social media who has been through it before and they want to share is that you can learn from that person's trial and error, right? And so that's kind of what this guy is doing, this guy Louis Burrell. Yeah, like in our lesson today, we're going to also get into the idea of the fact that there are fewer kids riding their bikes out on the streets these days. And it just made me, you know, think of this question. How has the way kids spend their free time changed compared to when we were young?
Yes.
I remember an art teacher that I had in junior high school. He said, we didn't have video games growing up. So what me and my brother would do is go out into the rice fields near our house, the rice paddies. We would find a frog. We would take a straw and stick it up a certain side of the frog and just blow. And that was their entertainment. He was not encouraging us to do that. And that's not a good thing to do. I hope nobody does that. But he was just making the point that when he was a kid, the entertainment was different.
We had that word yesterday, torturous.
That would be torturous for the frog.
That was torture. So let's think of another childhood memory that's a little less torturous for the animal. Well, my generation, I'm 63, we often talk about the fact that things that are considered dangerous now in America or don't let your kids do that, we say, well, we did that as kids because the world is a little more dangerous. Or certain one example, this is maybe certain types of playground equipment. Mm-hmm. It was really dangerous and you could get injured. Now there's modern design so that slides aren't as steep or they're not made of metal anymore. And so we often, my generation will joke out saying, well, somehow we survived our childhood.
Right.
But anyway, I'm glad that the world is safer for kids in many ways, but also in many ways it's not as safe. Mm-hmm. So that is a reality. So riding a bike, I don't know if it's the same here in on the island, but I know in a car, sort of, I guess I would call it Americana, the image of a kid riding his bike around the block. Mm-hmm. If you're from a small town especially, the block means that, 100 meters, then you turn, there's another 100 meters, and you go in a square. Riding around the block is almost a phrase in American English of that kid who had the freedom to just go anywhere on his bike.
Yeah.
So it really is a very nostalgic image, the kid on the bike that his parents, he really was safe. He was in a small town. But it's a very, listen to me, I'm almost getting emotional, but it's a very American small town image.
Right?
I don't know if that's true in a culture here, but that's what comes to mind.
It is. There's actually a big bike riding culture here, even now, and I think it has been for the last several decades at least, especially near the rivers, in a city. And, when I was small, you said the word nostalgic. That's a word that kind of means to make you think about your childhood or make you think about days in the past, experiences in the past. And there's usually some emotion attached to it. And, I used to play hopscotch with my friends or the neighborhood kids. And hopscotch is something I don't see a lot of kids playing these days, but that's, you draw some squares on the ground and you have to hop from one to the next in a certain order. And maybe there's, you have to throw a rock to a square to even be able to start. So there's some things that I don't see very often now, but that was a big part of my childhood. And we're going to see in our lesson today that actually bike riding is kind of on the decline. That means there's fewer people riding bikes today than there used to be. And I hope we can turn that around. But we need to get into our first section here, why it works. We're talking about why Louis Borel's method works. Here we go.
Why it works. Riding a bike is a skill that tends to click. You tend to gloss over the hows and whos. Borel, though, sees the unformed clay. He takes kids who are scared of pedals, scared of balancing, scared of brakes, but he also gets kids so eager to start riding, they take off without him. He's always surprised how many don't need his steadying hand within 10 minutes of the first lesson. Borel teaches a few times a week after school lets out for summer. Then, when school returns and he goes back to his day job, he does it on weekends. The demand has been so strong he's been training a second bike whisperer, a younger one. Borel said from his own experience, parents seem more willing now to outsource the kind of things that we think parents should traditionally accomplish. Time is now the biggest factor. He said none of his students have crashed yet. He claims a 100% satisfaction rate. His secret is no secret at all, he said. He tries not to touch the bike.
So, not too many secrets for Borel. And when you think about it, there's not a lot of room for secrets with something like riding a bike. At least I wouldn't imagine. It's not a very complicated thing. It's hard to learn until it actually clicks. But when it comes down to it, there's not a lot of things involved. There's not a lot of secrets that somebody can have, really. Although, I have to say, if there is one secret that our lesson has hinted at, it's the idea of patience and mm-hmm. how important it is to have patience. Patience really is the secret when teaching someone to learn a new skill like this. But we read riding a bike is a skill that tends to click. What does that mean, Rhonda? It tends to click.
Well, when you click something, you turn it on or off suddenly. So to suddenly understand or realize something, I want to snap my fingers, click.
Yeah.
You know, just it happened right then.
Yeah, and there are a few other skills that come to mind that just click.
It just clicks, yeah.
You try to learn at first,
finally,
you're like,
it clicked.
I can't do it. I don't know how. Like, for example, teaching my kids how to swing on a swing by mm-hmm. themselves and make themselves
to
go higher.
Pump their feet.
To pump their feet, yeah, that's what we say. Like, they still need me to push them mm-hmm. to make them go higher. But one of these days, it's going to click.
Going to click.
They're going mm-hmm. to understand physically, you know, mm-hmm. what their body is getting comfortable with.
Can you say it for both a physical process and something mental, like, oh, it finally that clicked?
Yeah.
It's a fun word. Again, you think of physically clicking something like mm-hmm. a snapping the light switch, but we use it for a physical or a mental
right.
skill or knowledge.
Exactly. Just learning something new. Maybe it's really difficult at first, but then finally it just clicks. All of a sudden, you really know how to do it. Not just a little, but wow, you can really do it. Another one that crossed my mind, another skill, swimming is, I think, one of those skills that just kind of clicks after mm-hmm. a while. When I learned how to ride a stick shift, so a car that is not automatic, we say mm-hmm. manual, mm-hmm. like that is definitely one that it's like you could practice so much.
Mm.
And people can tell you exactly what to do. You got to lift your left foot off the clutch and then put your right foot on the gas at just this right time. But until it clicks, mm-hmm. you're just not going to learn. You don't know.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and here it says you tend to gloss over the hows and whys, just kind of ignore them or skip over the steps in between.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another phrase. You know, when something clicks, you haven't had to analyze it and break it down. But here mm-hmm. we're going to learn that Burrell break it down, yeah.
Yeah, he wants to explain it, in other words.
Yeah, a little bit. At least he thought it through in more detail, maybe.
Right. And I think it's really good. That this is a sign of a good communicator
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of experts out there who, I mean, you just look at them. You know that they're so good at what they do. They make it seem so easy. I think of some of my favorite drummers. And then when I go and maybe they put out a video or two trying to explain something, and I'm like, yeah, you didn't explain that very well.
Explain it. It's so we sometimes say in English, it's second nature. That's mm-hmm. another phrase we have. Well, you're not explaining it because you don't realize that for me, it's not second nature. For
right.
you, it's second nature. It's just so part of who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, for an expert, it really is part of who they are. But it's another skill to be able to communicate that. And this is exactly what Burrell is good at. So Burrell sees the unformed clay. This is another metaphor. He's talking about, you know, the kids he works with, of course. But he sees the skill that could be there, the potential that is there. That is the unformed clay. The idea is you're supposed to think of clay that could be made into something beautiful like a pot or a statue or sculpture or something like that. So what does he do? He takes kids who are what?
Who are scared of pedals, balancing, scared of brakes. But he also gets kids so eager to take that they take off without him.
And taking off.
Yeah,
this is
fun.
A great phrase.
Take off.
You know, it makes me think of an airplane. That's what we say when it leaves the ground. It's taking off. But we could also talk about a business that is going successfully, you know, maybe pretty quickly. It's taking off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are taking off without him, literally, like, actually getting on their bikes and actually leaving his presence so that they're able to ride without him. He's always surprised how many don't need his steadying hand within 10 minutes of the first lesson. That steadying hand is the hand that is there to protect them and to guide them. In other words, in this next sentence, Rhonda, I see a phrase that's kind of interesting. It says, school lets out for the summer.
Sure. School ends.
School ends.
We might say, they let the kids out.
Okay. They let
another
the kids
way.
Out.
So school lets out. It's a way of saying the students inside the building are now outside the building.
Yeah. And
so school is let out. Sometimes we just say school's out.
School's out. So Alice
There's a
Cooper.
Song, School's Out for Summer.
Yeah. I think that's Alice Cooper.
So we might say, oh no, I've got the image of Alice Cooper. But I'm trying to think of how to help our our friends to learn that phrase or to use that phrase, school lets out.
Yeah, school lets out. Another one is gets out. School gets out for the summer.
Do we only say it about school?
That's but the most common
usage. When you get
off
of work, you don't say work let out. No, it's only
school lets out for the summer.
Yeah. It lets the kids out.
Or school lets out for the winter.
I think it's only school. I think it's only school we say that about.
So we just wanted to talk about that phrase. It's a very unique usage here. And then when school returns, he goes back to his day job. A day job is, you know, the job that someone probably has from 9 to 5, the main job that somebody has. And it says the demand has been so strong, he's been training a second bike whisperer, a younger one. There's a word we have for that. We could say he's teaching an apprentice. An apprentice is someone who is learning the trade, learning how to do something professionally, maybe even so that they can make money off of this new skill they have of teaching how to ride a bike. But now we read here something, parents seem more willing to outsource the kind of things that we think parents should traditionally accomplish. Would you agree with that, Rhonda, that teaching someone how to ride a bike, that used to be a parent's job, right?
Sure. Again, going back to the earlier comments I was making about just that Americana image. Mm-hmm. Again, growing up in America, small town, I think of that image of like, there's dad helping the kid ride his bike. And certainly we have parents doing that today. But I think this is where the article takes a more serious look at social phenomena today. And we all know that parenting is very stressful, very hard. When both parents are working, there's that constant struggle to spend enough time with your kids, and we want our kids to learn many skills. Mm-hmm. We could have a whole discussion about kids having lessons for things that parents used to have time to teach them, whether it's cooking lessons or,
reading.
In this case, riding a bike. Yeah. So I think this is a lovely article that there's a man in the neighborhood helping kids, but there is a sadness to it that you kind of think, well, where are the dads that could be helping their kids to learn to ride a bike on the weekend?
Yeah, so the dads or the—
It's a social comment.
It is. And I think one fact is that, you know, at the end of a long day at work or at school, you want to go and have a good time with your family, with your spouse or with your kids. And the reality is, when you're going to spend a little bit of time doing something like teaching a new skill, that could involve some frustration for both parties, the learner as well as the teacher. And maybe people want to avoid that. And so they're outsourcing to people like Lori Burrell and this other guy. But he said none of his students have crashed yet. He claims 100% satisfaction rate. This is awesome. So he has no secret at all, he says. He tries not to touch the bike. As I mentioned earlier, I think one of his key secret ingredients is the patience that he has. But we have more to learn in this next section, which is what we were talking about earlier. There's a lot fewer people riding bikes these days. Here we go.
A disappearing urgency to ride. The summer tradition of riding a bike as soon as school lets out has taken hits in recent years. A 2019 study by the Sports and Fitness Industry Association said the number of American children who rode bikes at least 25 times a year fell by 1 million from 2014 to 2018. Bikes are costly. Social media and video games have an outsized role in kids' lives, and parents simply don't let children roam like they once did. As Burrell sees it, without the motivation to ride, learning to ride becomes less urgent. After a couple of preliminary rides around the parking lot, Alex White stuttered to a stop. Alex pushed off and Burrell jogged beside her. But as she made the last curve, her handlebars locked up and she started to fall. But Burrell was there, riding her again. "No problem," he whispered. "Happens. Happens. You're getting it. Almost there."
Almost there. Well, we are almost there, friends. We're not quite finished yet, though. Let's talk about a few things here. A disappearing urgency to ride. Is that kind of exaggerated, Rhonda? Was there like an urgency to ride bikes in the past?
Interesting.
Would we say it's urgent?
Bikes have always been recreational, right? So, yeah, I might not have written that phrase or expressed it that way, but
the fact is, fewer and fewer people are feeling the need to ride a bike or even maybe they don't find it appealing.
Maybe the idea here is parents don't consider it a necessary life skill for a child to have. I guess, again, I keep going back to my own childhood. I think it was one of those things you expected your child to know.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. They're going to have to learn to tie their shoes, learn to ride a bike,
learn to swim.
Mm-hmm. And depending on where you grew up, and again, if you could even afford a bike. So something is changing, a disappearing urgency, we might say, a disappearing necessity to ride.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the summer tradition of riding a bike, as soon as school lets out, again, Rhonda was mentioning, this is kind of just kind of an image that comes into mind, you know, like, that's one of the things that a lot of kids just loved to do as soon as summer came around, as soon as summer vacation started. There are certain things that you start to do that maybe you don't have a lot of time for during the year, right? And so it has taken hits in recent years. Now, that's an interesting phrase if we're talking about this tradition has taken hits. That means, in a way, you could think of it as being attacked. This tradition has kind of been attacked, you know? And so it's on the decline. A 2019 study by the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, that's a great association to have, has said the number of American children who rode bikes at least 25 times a year fell by 1 million from 2014 to 2018. So again, we see it fell. Another word we could use is it decreased by 1 million there.
I'm a native English speaker, but that sentence threw me off because bikes and fell are so close together in that sentence, but it's saying that the number fell.
Right, the number of children, not the bikes that fell.
The number fell. Sometimes you look at a sentence and you see two words that you normally
associate
should
with
be together.
Each other.
I had to read that twice. So
yeah. So I mean, who was counting? I certainly wasn't counting the number of times
I rode a bike.
I rode a bike. Yeah.
That's once every 2 weeks. 25 times a year.
Yeah. If you put it that way, Rhonda, that's not that
doesn't
much.
Doesn't sound like much bike riding. Does
really?
It?
Yeah. Mm. So bikes are costly. This is true. I mean, I guess you could get a secondhand bike, and we have some. But social media and video games have an outsized role in kids' lives. And this has been true, I think, for decades, at least the video games part. I mean, I remember playing Nintendo growing up. And now you add social media to it, of course.
Right.
It's going to have a huge role.
Gabe, I have an English question.
Yeah.
Outsized role.
Yeah.
Do we ever say the word outsize without the word role after it?
Yeah.
Help me out here. An outsized role. I just hear those two together.
Yeah, you're right. That's what we'd call a common pairing of a couple of words. So yeah, often the word outsized does appear with the word role.
And also, let's see. It says have an outside role. We often say play an outside role.
Because you play a role, like in theater or drama.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just wanted to point that out, an outsized role.
Yeah. So it's basically a role that is a little
apart,
too much, you know, more than we would like. And parents simply don't let children roam like they once did. Well, this is so true. First of all, you need to know what the word roam means. This is to walk or travel, usually for a long time, with no clear direction or purpose. You could say wander, I think, is a good synonym for the word roam. But roaming the streets, you know, like when I was a kid, especially where I lived in kind of a rural, it wasn't downtown. Like, my parents didn't worry about me and my siblings walking around barefoot down the street. You know what I mean, Rhonda?
Yeah, roaming around. That's a beautiful word.
Did your kids do a lot of roaming when they were
No, because
little?
We lived in cities and we actually moved a lot. So often we were kind of recent arrivals, and we didn't necessarily know our neighbors real well. This is letting kids roam the streets.
It implies that you trust the neighbors.
It implies you trust the neighborhood, yeah. And also, again, people roaming in the streets now kind of has, in terms of the English usage, the connotation of undesirable people in the streets, or if you say a dog is roaming the streets, it implies something's wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm analyzing this too much, Gabe, but this verb roam is a really rich English word.
And I think
Something roaming around, the idea is it's, what you say, lost or it's directionless and maybe a little suspicious.
Sure.
I don't know.
Obviously, it depends on the context and who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, a lot of parents in previous generations would let their children just roam the streets. That's how I made friends with a lot of the neighborhood kids.
And that's why your Chinese is so good. Am I right, Gabe? Because you were roaming around meeting kids.
It does. It did play a factor.
Yeah.
I will not lie.
I think the idea to roam is a little bit of a kind of a wild, in a good sense, like a wild animal roams around versus like is being led on a path. So it's a, I just love that word.
Yeah. Well, we see as Burrell sees it, and here sees means perceives, or the way that he interprets and analyzes things. As Burrell sees it, without the motivation to ride, learning to ride becomes less urgent. So you really do have to have inner motivation. He has a couple of preliminary rides, that is the first rides that he takes people on around the parking lot. And Alex White stuttered to a stop. She stuttered to a stop? What does that mean?
Well, in this case, it means to move or act in an uncertain way. We usually say stuttered for something that happens with your speech. So this is a colorful way to use this word.
That's right. So Alex pushed off and Burrell jogged beside her. But as she made the last curve, that means as she is going around the last curve, her handlebars locked up and she started to fall. But of course, Burrell was there righting her again. We see the word right here as a verb. That means to make something correct or right. No problem, he whispered. Happens. I think he means it happens, right?
Yeah, it's a slang.
Yeah.
This shows how comfortable he is, casual. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say it with a whisper. Happens.
You're getting it. Almost there.
Yeah, I've got you.
And we're going to end our lesson with ASMR. Is that right?
I hope everybody feels good.
But yes, you're right. So this is short for it happens. It happens. And, you know, this kind of stuff happens, right? You're getting it. That means you're beginning to understand how to do it. It's clicking, probably. You're almost there. Friends, we've reached the end of our lesson. It's been a very great one, in my opinion. Look what I wrote down, Rhonda. Easy money. All you need is patience. Because he is making money off of this.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. But
it's easy to find out online if you just look this guy up.
Yeah.
But patience is not the easiest thing to master or to have.
That's right.
It's super valuable.
Right. I like that you're showing me all the research you did and all the notes on that paper. And that's why you're such an excellent host. And Gabe, before we say goodbye, I want to say I love being on the radio with you.
Well, likewise, Rhonda. The feeling is mutual. All right, it's been great, and thank you, friends, for joining us today for our lesson. We hope it's been helpful, and we'll see you next time for a completely different one right here on Advanced. My name is Gabe.
My name is Rhonda.
Saying see you later.
Bye-bye.